Blog Talk Radio.
Radio, where we encourage, educate, and empower all to the glory of God. And so I'm hoping that if this is your very first time, that you will be encouraged, that you will grab something. It may not be something, a brand new topic that you're just now hearing, but hopefully it'll be something that will give you some insight, will give you something that you'll want to study a little bit more and be a little bit more certain or sure of whatever the topic that we're going to talk about. It's a secret. But praise God, we want to make sure that you're educated. And then take the words that are shared and take them to heart, and then make the necessary changes in your life, and then be empowered not only for yourself, but be empowered for others. And so, again, this is Leah Killings, Dr. Happy, whatever you call me a child of God. I'm here to make sure that I do what God has called me to do, and that is to share the gospel. And so, like I said, if this is your very first time, please tune in again every Monday night at 9 o'clock in whatever time zone you're on. Adjust that accordingly. For those of you that have been on the broadcast, can you believe in a couple of months, literally in a couple of months, we'll be able to say 8 years we've been in this vein. And so praise God, I'm grateful that you have been with me, whether it's been for the entire 8 years, whether it's been 6 years, or it's been four, whether it's been 4 months, 2 months, 2 weeks. I am grateful that you came back, and that you keep me focused, and you keep me encouraged, and you keep me wanting to apply the word of God and to do whatever is necessary so that we can be stewards and be better stewards for him. And so praise God, if I'm able to impart something in you, praise God, because of the blood and because of the wisdom of God, I am grateful that you continue to come back each week and keep me focused to do what is necessary to continue to build us all up, amen, because it helps me too. Now, I wouldn't be right if I didn't acknowledge Tammy and Jesse Store, praise God. They have been the wind beneath my wings. Steve, allow me to know that this is even a possibility for me, so I will always give them a major shout-out, because, praise God, I didn't know about this thing. I didn't know about Blog Talk Radio. I didn't know that I was probably even qualified for radio. But they saw something in me, and they pushed me out there, and so I will always be grateful for them for making sure that that happened, and it continues to happen, and they continue to be the light and continue to be the motivating force for me to do what God's called me to do, and that is to teach and share his gospel. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Now, the biggest praise and the greatest praise we have to give, that is to our Father. Whether you know him or not, he is your Father, and so we always acknowledge him with prayer. And so we start with a little motivating music to get us in the mood. I thank you for tuning in, and then we go to him in prayer before we start our lesson. So, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you thanking you for your wonderful blessings. We thank you, Father, for this, just being God all by yourself. We thank you, Father, for allowing us to be able to have so many benefits knowing you and being part of your kingdom. We just thank you, Father, for those of us that have taken that step to yield ourselves to you. But more importantly, Father, we thank you for giving us an opportunity to fix it so that if we don't know you, we can have an opportunity to know you. So we thank you, Father, for making that an easy transition, that we just ask you to forgive us and acknowledge that we're sinners, and that you come in and you clean all that mucky muck out, and then we can move forward. And then you give us tools and resources to help us along the way to stay focused and continue to grow, not only grow in the things of this system, but grow in the things of you. And so we thank you. We thank you that you are our vine, and that if we stay connected to you, we will bear fruit, and that fruit will bear more fruit, and it will remain. And that's the beauty of it, that it remains, and we can see how it grows because we're focused on you. Because we can't do anything without you, and so we acknowledge, Father, that we can't do nothing without you. So we want you to be in everything that we do. We want you to be in our goings and our comings and our ups and our downs. We just thank you, Father, that you are loving enough, kind enough, and mercy enough to be with us. And so we just take this time to thank you. I thank you for all those that are tuning in today, whether it's today, tomorrow, next week, or next year. I thank you, Father, that they will get an inspired word, because you have laid something in my heart that I can't keep to myself, that I shout and with excitement and passion, because you didn't have to do it, but you did, and I thank you. And so I pray that my lips and my heart and my motivation is all focused and centered on you, so that we share the words that you desire for your people to hear. And so we want to have a right relationship with you, and so we can only do that by studying your word. So rightly divided, Father, in Jesus' name, we love you, honor, and adore you. I can't remiss by saying we don't thank you for the love of Jesus, because praise God, without his sacrifice, it wouldn't be possible. So we thank you for the word. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. And we thank you for that blood, right, privilege to be able to say that you are our Father. So we just thank you, Father. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. It's so amazing how God reminds you, because I always try to make sure I acknowledge the word, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus, and I didn't do that part, and he reminded me, so I closed out in prayer. But anyway, nevertheless, if this is your first time tuning in again, I am very, very, very excited to be able to keep you encouraged, or try to encourage you at least in this little hour of time that we have together, and then to give you a topic on something that will give you some insight, maybe nothing brand new, but something that will give you enough to be motivated to study it a little bit more on yourself, and then praise God to be able to make those necessary changes, be empowered to not just for yourself, but to share it with someone else. And so over the past couple of weeks, we've been talking about quite a few things, and I've been really excited about how God has continued to navigate and keep all the interesting enough. I thought that the topic that I would share on tonight would be something a little different and off task from what we've been kind of flowing in the last couple of weeks, but praise God, it still has maneuvered itself because God is God, and I have to be obedient. But I'm grateful that he allowed a good friend of mine, Miss Nina Bale, to inspire me with the topic that God has placed on my heart on tonight. And so she said, you know, you always do that thing how you make, and I still don't know why. I don't know what this word is. It's either acrostics. I think it's acrostics. But where you take the letters and then you make them words and then you put meaning behind them. But she said, you're really good at this. She said, I need a really good motivating something for the word plan. And so I thought, oh, well, amen. There's quite a few words I could put with that. But I thought, oh, amen. When I went to bed that night, it was just like God was ministering to me, and he just gave me the words. And I thought how odd that was, because normally, you know, I have to study and I have to, you know, figure out, Lord, you mean this word and this word, this word. But it was just so clear. And so the word plan, the acrostic that God gave me, is to prioritize, to learn, to apply, and to nurture. And why is that important? It's important for several reasons, because in this life that we lead, God has given all of us a plan and a purpose. And that purpose is for us, one, to be with one with him, but it's for us to love and to love others. And so in order for us to be able to do the things that he's called us to do, mainly, he's also given us gifts and talents to be used to help us do whatever is a special purpose that he's given. And of course, it's been around love ourselves and love others. And so in order for us to actually know what our plan, what our purpose is on the planet, I remember I was watching TV Jakes, and he said something about, you know, people are so focused on trying to find out what their purpose is in the things. Oh, God, why? What is my purpose for being here? And he said, which I thought was pretty unique because I've always been one to try to help people find their purpose, find their plan. He said, if you do what God tells you to do, you're going to walk into your purpose anyway. And so that was so eye-opening and a revelation for me, because I didn't know that God was calling me to teach. I know in the beginning when I started out in my educational journey, I wanted to be an executress. I wanted to be in Ebony magazine. And so, praise God, my family, my uncle owned a beauty shop. And so I started my path in business, and I managed the stores. And so that's where I thought, you know, how I was going to lead my direction to this jet spread, ebony spread, that I was going to be featured, praise God. And so along the way, didn't know what God was doing, but it wasn't even at that point where I was working in the stores at 14, 15. It started when I was 7 and 8, and where I was helping a church that was at the corner of my street with tutoring. And I thought they pulled us in because we were running around the block. And they said, no, we need you guys to come in and help these little kids tutor. And we thought, we're kids ourselves. How are we going to tutor anybody? But it was so fulfilling because we got to teach these kindergarten and first graders how to read and how to count and how to understand their colors and different things, and how it was cool to have these kids recognize us in the community. And so there's my tutor. And so it did something to me that I felt kind of a pull to kind of help people. And so I believe that's where God at least planted the seed for me teaching and the thirst and the desire
of what it felt like to see somebody's life change because they actually learned something. And so little did I know, even navigating through high school and through college, you know, tutoring people and helping people, that God really revealed to me that this was the vein that he actually put me in. And so although I had my own goal and my own purpose for going into a professional where I was going to be highlighted, he put me in on the back side and where I was teaching and then teaching people and motivating people so that they could shine in the spotlight. And so, of course, along the way, God had to kind of, you know, carve the rough edges around because, of course, I wanted to be important. But I realized that it was just as important teaching someone to reach their revelation or their purpose or their goals as much as it was for me to be in the spotlight. And so, of course, with more growth and with my understanding and learning, it wasn't necessary for me. I could care less about being in the spotlight. I still like it, but I don't have to be in the spotlight. Amen. But the whole point is for us to learn how to have a plan of action to do the things that we're supposed to do, not necessarily always from a spiritual side, because I know that there are listeners that are not necessarily as deep as I would like to, everybody to be in the things of God. But nevertheless, we all still need a plan. And so our plan should always, always, always start with God, because we should always seek him first and everything else should be added. And when we do that, then he can navigate our steps. And even when we're not conscious of where he's navigating us, praise God, that's why I love that song. When Jesus says yes, nobody can say no. He puts us in those paths where nobody can say no. And then when those folks need to say no, he makes sure that they say no. But the key to this this plan, this priority, it goes both ways for our secular living and our spiritual living. And so the first P is to prioritize. And many times when we're doing things in life, we tend to get scatterbrained because we just do a bunch of stuff. But I have learned that it is so important that we make lists. And I learned this at one of the jobs that I've had over the years. It was Zyglin Miller. I can't remember his name completely. I apologize for not having it. But he was very adamant on, you know, making sure that people learn how to prioritize that was in his company. And so he created this day planner that had all everything kind of categorized, and I learned a lot from just, it was supposed to be managing and training people, but the class ended, I mean, the whole point of that job really trained me how to be more proficient and organized. Now, people don't look at my desk, they don't think I'm organized, but I can organize. My mess is organized. But anyway, but it did teach me how to prioritize. And one of the greatest things that you can do when you prioritize is you have to have a list. And so I tell most people that you make your list, and it doesn't matter where you make your list. We make lists for grocery shopping. We make lists for all kinds of things. But we should make a list on the things that we need to attain, the things that we need to repair, the things that we need to develop, our job. I mean, everything that we do in life, you should have a plan where you prioritize things in order. And so sometimes it gets difficult because, you know, you have a list here, you have a list there, you have a list. I am one that I believe you put everything you need just on one piece of paper. And especially when you're taking the time to actually formulate a plan, just make the list. Don't worry about spelling. Don't worry about, you know, whether it's in order. Just put it all down. If it comes up, let it come out and write it down. Writing down is so important because we make ourselves believe, you know, I can remember. And remember that the enemy wants to steal, kill, and destroy. So if it's something that's important, something that will affect somebody's life or change, he will snatch that thought out of your head because it'll bombard you with so many things and you'll forget. So that's why it's so important that we write things down and that we write them down in convenient places. Now, I am one that I have stuff. I have books and I have a lot of stuff. And so I learned that it's very important for me to put all my notes them in one place because throughout the day, it'll come to you, and you won't have your quote-unquote D-book. And so you'll write it on people. Or you could be like, you know, some of the people I know that are very tedious, I'll just say that word, what everything has to be in its proper place. And some of those things get missed because if you're waiting till you have the planner, you'll miss. So it is important that you write it down and then put it where you need to be. So you need to have a system on how you prioritize your things. But like I said, write down everything. If you have a few minutes, and like I said, this class taught me, at the end of the day, every day, you just make a list and then you add to the list that you already have. But when you have a list and you have everything that you know or you think that you want to do, then you prioritize your list. And then depending on how you are or what type of things you put on your list, you can decide, do you want to do things, you know, A is for the things I do for myself, B is the things I do for my children, C is the things I do for my job, D is the things that I do for my communities, E is for the things I do for church. However you want to break it down, it's important that you break it down so that when you look at your list, you can put by E. And then when you're forming your list to get, you know, to make other lists, then you can put all your A's together, all your B's, and so on. Or however God deems you, I've done colors, you know, sometimes, however you do it. Now that I'm going through my healing journey, it's so important that I put together my healing because, praise God, and I'll tell you guys about this a little later, but I'm being able to go to a place now that's going to document everything in one place. And so it'll be easier for me now to put all my records in one place and to be able to have it with me at all times. And so it is so important that we learn how to prioritize. I think one of the scriptures that I like most that is not used properly, of course, but I'm gonna share it and then tell you why it's not used properly. But 1 Corinthians 14:40, it says, "Let all things be done decently and in order, but everything should be done in a fitting and orderly way." Now, this seems so applicable to doing whatever we do decently in order, and it has because it fits, especially when we're talking about prioritizing, when we're talking about doing meetings and different things. But that's not what that scripture kind of went with. That scripture went with basically Paul was trying to teach the people how to make sure that they order their homes, because I believe in that passage of scriptures, a couple of scriptures up, it talked about the women being quiet and all that. And, of course, that's been taken out of context, too. But that's a whole nother lesson. But nevertheless, it does fit because we want things to be done decently in order. We want things to be done in the right timing, in the right sequence. And so if we don't put them in the proper order, then things can operate in confusion. And we know what he says about operating decent without confusion. And so I like to believe that the best scripture that would fit for this particular piece would be Psalms 37:23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. And so if you seek God first at the early part of your day, then he will be careful to help you prioritize the things you need to do. Now, those of us that were listening, and we'll take the opportunity to just write out your list and just write until you can't write it anymore. And I mean everything, grocery shopping, everything. You'll want to put that list before God so that he can help you organize your list. This is something that I need to do tomorrow. These are some of the things I need to do at the end of the week. These are some of the things at the end of the month, some of the things at the end of the year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years from now. God will help you organize it so that it can be in order and it can operate decently for you and your family. Amen. But now, one of the things that I think that we sometimes forget when we're talking about prioritizing is how to prioritize for ourselves. We can make a list of what we got to do for everybody else, but very rarely, especially moms, take the time to make sure that we prioritize our day for ourselves. And so, again, if Ziegler Miller, that's his name, his teaching was you spend so much time with your planner, and the planner was organized and categories and everything. It was awesome. But nevertheless, when you got to the end of the day, the things that you didn't accomplish that you had planned for accomplishing today, you go ahead and put them on the next day. And then you make sure that before you finish, then you check off what have you done for yourself for the day. And so, of course, I don't have the list that he has, but I did research a list. And so I thought it was cool to share this with you. And for those of you who are writing, amen. And those of you who are not, I'll make sure that I put it on my Facebook page so that you can have this list. But it's how you do your self-care. So at least dedicate 15 minutes to yourself, however you do it, in the beginning of the day, the middle of the day, the end of the day. But you want to make sure that you dedicate time for you. What do you need to do for you? Do you need to make a doctor's appointment? Do you need to get your hair done, your nails done, whatever it is that you do that makes you feel happy? And then be realistic when you make these goals. And then be kind to yourself. Sometimes we don't treat ourselves enough. We don't take the mommy times that we need for ourselves, whether it's just going in the bathroom and closing the door and telling nobody not to knock on the door. Whatever you need to do, I tend to just go to Walmart. Don't necessarily have to buy anything. But that's my time away from myself. I get to get out and I get to sit down or do whatever I need to do and then just explore. But that's my time away for myself. But you got to make sure that you are kind enough to yourself to do the things that you need to do. This next step that you do for yourself that I don't tend to do as often as I should, but I'm about to start, is making sure that you are eating properly. Sometimes that takes a little bit more time than 15 minutes, but if you do that as part of your prioritizing list, then you can make sure that you have it together so that when you establish it in your daily routine, it is prioritized. What are you eating? Same girlfriend that recommended me do this plan. She fries chicken at midnight, amen. And so it's like, I'm hungry. Amen. I didn't eat all day. I got to eat something. And so we laugh because while she's doing that, I'm cooking too. But praise God. We have to make sure that we're eating right and we're eating at the right times for our bodies. It is so comical to me, this whole process of being down this healing journey. I have to stop saying being sick. Going down this healing journey, how much we don't really cater enough to what's best for us as an individual. We read these passages and we Google, the hospital Google. My doctor tells me, Austin, you know, we read so much that we can confuse ourselves because not everything is designed for your body. It may be a great, you know, process for, you know, these 10 people, but it may not be a good process for you. So you got to make sure that you listen to God to hear what's important for you and prioritize that for you. And so I know that my blood type, I should eat certain things. I know I have allergies, and so I should eliminate certain things. And so if I'm going to be prioritized and put me, you know, in this list that I care about myself and I'm going to prioritize, I need to find out what things are best for me. I know that Pepsi is probably not the best thing for me, but praise God. So I have to find something to substitute that. So if I never take the time to figure out what to substitute it, I will reach for another Pepsi because my body is craving it and I want it and I'm going to drink it. And so if I prioritize and make sure that I make the right substitutes, then I will be able to be realistic. And then we talk about being realistic. And then I will be kind to myself. And then I will make sure that I dedicate during my 15 minutes for the day. Did I follow my eating plan? I can put yes, check, I did that. The next thing is how we talk to ourselves and about ourselves. When I did my little stint of counseling with Dr. Bliss, had to give her a shout out. It was one of the things that she made me help me really realize that if I don't say that I'm healthy and I don't say that I'm wealthy, I don't say that I'm wise, how would I ever achieve or attain any of those things if I don't believe in myself? I have to say the right thing. I can't say, oh, I wish I wasn't so stupid. I keep forgetting. Well, why am I calling myself stupid? I'm not stupid. I'm very wise because God has given me the power and his anointing. It allowed me to, you know, to study, to show myself approved, not only to rightly divide other topics, but to divide his word. So why would I ever call myself stupid? So I have to make sure that I watch how I talk about myself and then how I watch how other people talk about me. We have to be mindful. And so if we care and value ourselves, then we won't put up with a lot of nonsense. And so we have to be mindful when we're talking about prioritizing to take care of me, that you spend at least 15 minutes a day for yourself, that you're kind to yourself, that you're realistic to yourself, that you eat right, that you watch how you talk about yourself, and then, praise God, social media. I can talk a whole hour on social media, but we have to be mindful what we're really putting in our ears and our eye gates. because it's going to come out of our mouth. When we see, you know, the best side of everybody because they're posting the best sides of their life, and then we think, I don't never do nothing. I don't never do this, or I can't, or I haven't, or I should, or I could. Amen. We can down ourselves, and before we know it, that 15 minutes that we've allocated to ourselves, if we're using it in our social media, will distract everything that we built ourselves up for. So we have to be mindful what we're doing. And that's not just on social media, you know, talking about the internet and these crazy phones, but it's TV, the radio, whatever social outlet that technology that can bring your spirit down. You got to be mindful of what you're doing to yourself. And then last but not least, we have to have enough sleep. We have to prioritize sleep. We should get at least, we're supposed to have more than this, but we should have at least 6 hours of good, sound sleep. So many of us don't do that because we're always running. But if you prioritize that in your day to make sure you have a thing, you'll be able to take care of yourself. Amen? So that's the P. So you got to prioritize. L is the learn. Proverbs 9:9 says that give instruction to a wise man and he will be still wiser. Teach a man righteousness and he will. We sometimes get so caught up that we're not thinking that that we need to educate ourselves and that we need to learn. I say that, you know, every day I say that I'm healthy and I'm wealthy and I'm wise. But how can I encourage and perpetuate that wisdom unless I study the things of God? And so I want God to teach me to be wiser. I want to be righteous in him. I want my morals and my spiritual instructions to be not necessarily for adults to see, but the children to see too. I want, like we talked about when we talked about Joseph, that people could see the Spirit of God on him, whether he was in the pit, whether he was in the prison, or whether he was in the palace. Everyone saw the glory of God on him. And so in order for us to get to that, we have to learn. And so I looked up learn, because learn seems simple enough, but I still looked it up. And I like that it says learning is the process of acquiring new understanding, knowledge, behaviors, skills, values, attitudes, and preferences. And then using these abilities are not necessarily geared to just humans. Animals learn. Scary enough, these computers are learning way too much and fast, too fast for me. But technology learns. And then they said that from my plant friend, that even some plants are starting to learn how to adapt to the different environments. And so God has given us all a spirit of learning. And so how are we using it? And how are we going to allow what we prioritize? So if you learn through your list of priorities that you're really not taking care of yourself, then learn what you must do. My daughter is forever looking up different ways to treat her skin, different ways to treat her hair, and she tries different things. So she's learning as she's going along what's best for her hair, what products do well, which ones don't, what things seem to make her skin, you know, smooth, what things, you know, tend to make her skin dry, whatever it is. And it doesn't just have to be, you know, in that category. It could be, you know, just learning. I have to learn how to plan my meals better, learning how to substitute sugar. I don't know how y'all got to pray for me on that. How I got to divorce candy? Oh Lord, amen. I've been on candy since I was 2, and I'm like 50 something years. I've been eating candy like weekly, daily. I was trying to remember if there was ever a day that I didn't have any candy. I guess there was a couple days, but not many. And so I have to learn how to substitute that craving for that sugar. And so in the process of us learning, we have to go to God. And how do we do that? It's not just going to happen. And that's one of the things that I'm challenged by a lot of the teenagers. And I guess I went through it too when I was that age. We just expect things to just show up and they're just going to happen. We have to make an attempt to do what is necessary. If you want to be a better writer, then you're going to have to do something. It's just not going to come. We know that God can do amazing things, but he helps those and helps himself. Now, that's not scripture, but you know people say it all the time. But praise God. It's still part of the principles and the morals of God, that if you don't lean to your own understanding, you lean to him and he'll lead you. My nephew many months ago was on the broadcast, and he said, well, you're ready to be a student, a teacher will come. And they will teach you the things that you need to know and learn, and so that you can make sure that you are manifesting the goals that you have during your priorities. Are you setting the proper goals for yourself? And when you do that, it's going to require for you to study some things, because we don't know everything. I remember once somebody said that some of us believe that we know as much as God. And if we really put it to, like, even with everybody in the world, if we put all our intellect together, we still wouldn't even have a mile to God. And so we have to be mindful. If he knows everything, then we should go to him for instruction. We should go to him for wisdom. We should go to him for things that we should know, and how they will impact us, and how they will impact our lives, so that we can be better stewards for him. Amen. Okay. Apply. A is apply. And apply is really instrumental in this plan, acoustic, because we can prioritize all day long. This is what I do. This thing. You can make a list, 5-6 pages. We can say we're going to learn and go to classes and do these things. And we can even go ahead and take these classes and get all this information. But if we don't apply them, then they're not going anywhere. And so you have to make sure that you put yourself in a place where you can be practical on the things that you want to change in your life, and those are the people that are around you, everything. And so I love that one of the steps that I saw when I was doing my research, it says your new understanding, after you prioritize and learn everything you have, of what happens when you apply yourself gives you insight. So you'll have insight to do whatever it is that you didn't know what to do, you know how to do. It'll give you wisdom. But more importantly, it will give you the courage you need to continue to test your ideas, test your wisdom and your understanding. A couple of weeks ago, I was in Vegas, and I had an opportunity to stay with my cousin. And so it was exciting just to be able to see him. But when I got there in the room that he had me stay in, which was not by accident, this was all in my opinion, and I believe to my heart, was all designed by God, because he has a radio station, a broadcast. I think it's a radio program. But nevertheless, he had all this equipment, and so he had all this extra stuff, and so I was able to ask, why do you have this? And what is this for? And what is that for? And little did I know, God was sharpening my skills, because he had a full panel of things that I could definitely take advantage of and use to my advantage. And then he showed me all these other things that I could do to either generate income for myself. It was just amazing how, like I said, when you're ready to learn, God will provide the teacher. And so I'm so grateful that he gave those things to me. So now the key is, how will I apply that? How will I make that part of my priorities to make sure that I manifest to get the change that I want? And so I have to have a plan in order for me to apply the things that I've learned. Because isn't it sad when we learn things and then we never use them? How we want to do this thing and we do all this stuff to make sure that we can attain it, but then we never apply it. So in order for us to do that, we have to make some other steps. And again, these are more steps. You know, I love my steps. But one of the things I think that why we don't apply the things that we learn is because we're always comparing ourselves to other people. Why do we do that? Because now I am equipped to teach this class, and I'm just using it because of my reference and my sphere of understanding. So now that I have this degree now to teach, you know, what am I going to do with it? Am I going to use it, or am I going to always compare? I mean, she's a better teacher than me, so I probably can't teach like she teaches. Are you kidding me? If God allowed me to go through this process, then I'm supposed to connect with the people that he places in front of me. I have to believe that. The people that are in front of whoever I'm trying to compare myself to are for those types of kids, and then the people that are not necessarily kids, but adults too, but the people that are in front of me are the people that I'm supposed to minister to. So we have to stop comparing ourselves. They do a better job at this than me, or they look better. We have to stop. Stop comparing. And then we have to stop worrying about other people's opinions. We get so caught up with, are they going to like that I'm wearing this? You know, do I have on the right? Why do we do that to ourselves? Because the enemy wants to steal, kill, and destroy. He's going to take whatever that was and destroy. I remember somebody shared that you can go out to a social gathering, and you think that you look good. You spend time, you prioritize, got everything together so you could leave on time and be on time. You know you look good, you're feeling confident, and then you get there and you get 10 compliments in the parking lot. Oh, girl, you look good. I got, you know, you look handsome, whatever it is. And then you get to the inside, and they're like, wow, you look beautiful. Then you get inside, and you sit down, and somebody's like, ooh, I don't know why she think that match. If that don't go together, why is this belt don't match his shoes? And then you'll forget all about all the compliments you had prior to getting to that point, and you'll only remember that one. And I know many people have left situations and conferences because somebody said something, or they felt bad because somebody said. Folks, we got to stop allowing ourselves to compare ourselves to others and allow other people's opinions about us to make us do things that God has not authorized us to do, and then provided a way for us to take advantage of. We miss out because we're listening, and they don't even remember when they said it or care when you bring it back to them. So we got to stop. We got to stop thinking that because we made a mistake, it's the end of the world. Allow yourself to make some mistakes. We all are making mistakes. You talk about learning. How do we learn? You think about the Bible. We have learned that, you know, Abraham and Isaac and David and Joseph and Job and, I mean, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, all of them made mistakes. But they still had an opportunity to do what they were called to do. And they did it, and they did it, and we benefit from it because of the mistakes that they made. And so we'll benefit from the mistakes we made because now we know, okay, don't do that again. Or don't go around that, don't go that way anymore. Or, you know, I got to have more skills to do whatever the situation is. Don't beat yourself up. Be kind to yourself. That goes back to when we were talking about prioritizing to think more careful about ourselves. We have to be kind to ourselves. I think sometimes we beat ourselves up so much. Oh, I failed this class, and so I'm going to quit school. No. You're going to figure out what it is that you did. Prioritize. Did I not study? Did I not make sure that I, you know, planned properly? Was I tired? Did I fall asleep a lot? Did I not eat properly? Did I have too many things on my plate? Whatever the situation is, allow yourself to make the mistake and then be kind to yourself. Don't beat yourself up. And then this is like the biggest one, fear. Fear will prevent us from applying things. We're confident now that we got the skill. We're confident now that we have the right tools to do it as, and then we allow fear to paralyze us and not move forward. We have to find out what it is, because remember fear, the acronym or acrostic for that, is false evidence appearing real. All of us have some form of I'll just say fear because it's an emotion. All of us. Before I dial in every week, it's like, oh, Lord, let me make sure that I log in on time, that the phone number dials, my stomach gets into knots, and then praise God, once I start teaching, amen, it's over. So if I didn't apply myself and allow myself, I wouldn't log in. I'd be too afraid, and I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't get on. Or, you know, I'm afraid that, you know, somebody may laugh. I remember in the very beginning of my broadcast, so I wouldn't open up the line for questions because I was too afraid they'd stump me and I wouldn't know the answer. And so I prevented myself from allowing people to be healed and be able to be set free to saying whatever they needed to say, because how did I know somebody five states over was blessed by allowing somebody to? We cannot be paralyzed by fear. We have to learn how to apply the things that we learn so that we can be better, and then trust ourselves enough that we make good decisions. We have to allow ourselves to seize every opportunity that comes so that we can apply. I tell my daughter, Austin, she plays volleyball, and praise God, I didn't realize she was as good as she is, amen, because she went to nationals. But nevertheless, I tell her all the time, you know, you made a mistake, but you got to score 25 to win. So your little one mistake is not going to cause the team to fail. And even if it did, it wasn't yours by itself. It was 24 other points that the other team, the other mistakes that your team made in order for you to lose. Don't take that burden on yourself. No. Every opportunity presents itself. Okay, now you know that you have to open your hand a little wider, or you have to step back behind the line before you jump. Whatever your situation is, figure it out. And so you take the opportunities to make sure that you you learn more or that you prioritize better so that when you get to the applying process, that you will be a better applier. Amen. And then last but not least is nurture. One of the things that I think we sometimes forget is to go back. Now that I've arrived and I have my doctorate of divinity, I think I've arrived? No. I have to nurture the information because this is as much as I study for it, I could forget. Because remember, the enemy wants me to forget. He doesn't want me to remember. So I have to sharpen my skills. And that's why you have to nurture whatever your gift, your passion, your desire, that has to be nurtured. You have to continue to apply. You have to continue to learn. You have to continue to prioritize so that you can always be effective in whatever it is that you're doing. If you want to be a better student, you know, at school, I'd like to start for my teenagers that are listening. If you want to be a better student, remember what you did last year. You know, I didn't do so well with being on time. And so I got to work on being on time. So how do I nurture that? Or better yet, I was able to fix it, and I was on time. I wasn't on time at the beginning of the school year, but I was able to be on time. So how do you nurture that? What did I do different that made the difference for the second half than it was the first half? Write it down so that you can prioritize and make sure, okay, all I had to do was be 5 minutes earlier. That was my biggest thing where I was late all the time. I was always there, but I was 5 minutes late. But if I left just 5 minutes earlier, I could have been on time. What was I doing, putzing around, as my uncle always say, fumbling and bumbling? What was I fumbling and bumbling doing that prevented me from being on time when it was 5 minutes? 5 minutes. I shouldn't have to drive like I'm a speed racer to get anywhere if I prioritize my time. And then I nurture the times that I did do the right thing and did it on time. And so the more you do that, the more you'll be able to do those things and more effectively. And so one of the things, like I said, we don't take care of ourselves and we don't look or spend time when you're talking about planning for yourself. I found this list that I thought was really cool about nurturing your inner self. And so one of the things, and I think that we all love, and I believe God gave us that because, amen, he enjoys it. He enjoys for us to love on others as well as he wants us to love on ourselves. And so sometimes I know that we get excited when we get letters in the mail or when somebody sends us a text message that's encouraging, when somebody just says, hey, I'm thinking about you, or calls, or sends a card. But why don't we do that to ourselves? We should take time to love on ourselves. If you don't give flowers, my girlfriend, she don't give flowers, she'll buy them herself. I buy my own flowers. And so praise God, every once in a while, you know, other people will buy them. But if no one buys them, she doesn't get caught up. She'll just buy her own flowers and put them up. And sometimes you have to send yourself things to encourage yourself. Put a card in the mail for yourself. That sounds weird. Do it. And when it comes, you'll be so excited and you'll be so happy. And then praise God, if somebody sees you sent yourself a card, well, yeah, nobody else is sending it to me. It may ignite somebody else to send you something. Amen. But send loving things and do loving things for yourself. That's how you nurture yourself. Number two, by taking good care of yourself. Now, there was a time that I, you know, made sure that my hair, my nails, and everything was tight and right. But praise God, at the time, I liked the feedback that I got from that. So that was my motivation. Well, that's not my motivation anymore. But what I need to do to make myself, to take care of myself, is to eat better, to try to move a little bit more than what I have been. You know, for me, it hurts a little bit to move, but trying to find something that will help me be able to take better care of myself, if it's no more than buying something that I could do sitting down or laying down. But I have to do things to take care of myself. And then every once in a while, we need to do things to do something nice for ourselves, reward ourselves. How do you reward yourself? Have you rewarded yourself ever? I know my godmother, well, she's my daughter's godmother, but I claim she's my godmother now too. But she always said, you always make sure that when you get your money, when you get your little pay, you give God his 10%, you save 10%, you take care of yourself, whether it's you get your hair done, you do something for yourself, then pay your bills. Because if you don't put yourself in there, you're going to give God his, you're going to save, But you need to take care of yourself before you work hard for some of us may get dollars, but some of us just get pennies. But whatever you get, amen, put some to the side for you to do something nice about yourself. Every paycheck, I'm going to go to Kentucky Fried Chicken and get me some wings. And whatever it is that makes you happy, do something for yourself. And then another thing is you got to set healthy boundaries for yourself. That's how you nurture yourself. If you have to get away from some toxic people, amen, you got to find a way to nurture yourself. And then you got to be your own advocate. You can't be your own advocate, then who's going to stand up for you? You have to know your own boundaries. You have to know your own things that you're willing to tolerate and the things that you're not willing to tolerate. And that comes from believing in yourself. If you don't believe in yourself or have a relationship with yourself, then how will you ever know what you need to prioritize, what you need to learn, what you need to apply? If you have a relationship with yourself and you know your gifts, you know your abilities, and you know the things that you would like to obtain and attain in this system, amen, you got to get to it, because people, if we haven't been paying attention, people have been dying, like, rapidly. And so would you rather leave the planet and not be able to experience all the things that you've always wanted to do? You got to prioritize and put that in the plan of action. I am going to make sure that I go whitewater rafting. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but hook or crook, I'm going to do it, because that is something that I have a passion that I want to do. And because I love myself enough and I have enough funds that are coming into me that I can prioritize, it may take me a year to save, but whatever it is, I'm prioritizing. I have a plan. I'm going to make sure that I prioritize, because if I have to just save $2 a month, it only give me one ticket, but praise God, I can go whitewater rafting somewhere. But prioritize and then learn what you need to do to make sure that you have the skills to do whatever it is that you're trying to do, and then make sure you apply those skills. And most importantly, you want to make sure that you love yourself. You got to love God first, and then you love yourself. And so if you one of the things that I used to teach when I taught my discipleship classes is that, you know, God created us with a vertical relationship and a horizontal relationship. The vertical relationship is for you and him, and the horizontal relationship is with you and others. And so in order, why it's so important for God to be vertical, because you look up, amen, and you look up to the things of God, and he will give you what you need to let you know what he designed you for. And then you make sure that you have a relationship with yourself. What do I need to do to make sure that I'm in line with the things of God? Spiritually, physically, emotionally, socially, financially. Me, what do I need? And then make that priority. And then, praise God, then you make your priority, your list for your relationship with others. What toxic people do I need to get out of my life? What people that I need to really spend more time with because they can help me get to the things that I need to get to? What better ways can I show how I love to serve God's people? And then write those things down. And when you write those things down, figure out, okay, do I need to be taught how to do any of these things? My goddaughter got baptized yesterday. And so I asked her, what is the next step? And she didn't know. And so it's like, fine, that's cool. I can show you. I can teach you. We're going to start with a book, and it's going to teach you why you got baptized. Why did you give your life to Christ? Why did you do that? You know, if you can't explain that, then there's ways that we can find out so we can show you how to do it. And then most effectively, if you don't know how to pray, because many people don't, learn, read your word. Talk about going to Google. Google will show you different things that you can say, and you want to make sure you incorporate the word, but you want to make sure that you develop that relationship between you and God, and then everything else, I promise, will come to pass. Almost like T.D. Jakes said, if you do the things that you're committed to do to God, then everything will line up. And so I pray that you have learned something. I pray that you have been encouraged, and I pray that you have been empowered to make some changes for your life today, to be focused on yourself, to have a plan, prioritize whatever you need to do to get your life in order. Learn what you need to do to make sure that you're as efficient in whatever that is, and then apply those skills when you learn it. And then when you get them, nurture them so that you can keep up with them. And not only keep them, but share them with someone else. Now, I know that I'm not out of talk, but I'm out of time. And so I have to play the song for my granny and for others that love to hear Every Praise Belongs to God, because it really does. And I apologize this week. I didn't give you an opportunity to open the line. But next week, praise God, we'll make sure that we open up the line. So if you have any questions or concerns, you can always just say and share them. All you have to do is press 1, and then I will unmute the line, you know, and allow you to have that time. But praise God, I want to make sure that I close my granny's song out so she can hear quite a bit of it. But every praise belongs to God, granny. And I'm praising God for you, and I thank God for each day that you live and that you're on the planet. And so if I could do the least I could do is play your song, I'll play your song, praise God. But this is Leah Killings with Empowered to Change Blog Talk Radio, where we encourage, educate, all to the glory of God. And like I said, we want you to tune in again next Monday at the same time. However you logged in or however you dialed in, make sure you come back for another inspiring word. And make sure that you plan your day effectively so that you can have the life that God has planned for you. You want to make sure that you start your day with prayer, pray throughout your day, and end your day with prayer. God bless you, and have a wonderful, wonderful week.
Let me hear the worshipers! Where's all of my praises? I want everybody around the world to put your hands together, because all the praise belongs to God. Here we go.
One more time.